I'm sorry, okay? Give me a break. I was looking at you kissing my butt instead of a light.
Love.
Well, you know, when they trade up to you, it's like, you know, you're going to get me.
Kevin got changed to Dougie because that's who that is. He shows up in Godsend later. Cult's dad.
That Dougie is a Dougie Hauser in me.
If you wish. D-O-U-G-I. Dougie. Dougie.
Dougie.
Dougie. Dougie. See, all kinds of fun ways. You can be as silly or as exotic as you want. Let's see. Anyway, yeah, there's that. What's the other big change? Westland. It was always hard in the second book to figure out what was really Westland's motivation for kind of what he did. It seems like he kind of got sucked into things. And it was weird because he ultimately became the
emperor,
the leader of this group. But ultimately became the conclave and he was the senior, so he became the emperor. And it was like, why, you know, I don't think I really came up with a good justification for what happened. So it was like, okay. But then I said, oh, you know what? I already solved this. And God said, I said, he went off in a huff and left his parents, right? Younger than we're aware of. I had opening scenes in prophecy where he was fishing with his dad. And then I said, well, yeah, I can change that because, you know, prophecy is written and all. At least not set down enough to the point where it's published at this point. And I said, well, we could just... I said, it seems like he is kind of a reactionary hothead, you know? It seems to be consistent with a little vignette that we have in Godsend where Davor recalls the last time he saw Wesley. And it's like, yeah, the hothead kind of thing would work really well. You know? He has desires, ambitions, just being in kind of, I forget what it's called. It's already been named somewhere. Kind of the House of Representatives of the Commoners, you know? The convocation kind of set this thing up because the Commoners were starting to get a little crabby about their status.
Merlin Revolution.
Something. So the Matrix set this up to kind of give them something to do, kind of a forum to be disgruntled and to bicker and argue. And they said the great part is they bicker and argue to each other. They don't really bother us. You know, they can pass all the resolutions they want to, but they only apply to themselves. So it's like, you know, maybe that will satisfy them, right? That they feel like they can to some extent have some control over their lives. Anyway, so this thing had been set up. Lanalelk throws. It's really quick, but he rose up in this structure, in this chamber, and Wesslin involved in this stuff. This is part of where this kind of group that he kind of leads kind of forms as kind of as an opposition group to Lanalok and the establishment of this Commoners Congress. And of course he has Lanalok's smart and political, and he is a supporter of the way things are, basically. You know, he isn't trying to turn the whole world upside down like some commoners would like to have happen. You know, get rid of the queen, get rid of this convocation crap. We do all the work. We should be making all the decisions.
Isn't Lanalok supposed to be there helping Julia?
That's much later. We're talking about the very first part of prophecy, where Dennis and Tessery and Melisandre and Davor are going to do missionary work among the whole situation now. Everybody.
That's right.
Because Tessery
came.
Yeah, Tessery ultimately gets kind of because in the Waykeep way of doing things, she's just somebody's wife. And, you know, in the whole complication of things, she is this power unto herself. So, yeah, she ultimately just leaves the whole thing. I would love to tell you something else I was thinking about when we're sitting there in the temple. They, in doing the stuff to your catalytic converter, it turned off your check engine light.
Yeah.
Because that was the sensor that was saying you had a problem.
Yeah.
With your catalytic converter.
see the road.
You just have to keep, go over there, and then all of a sudden it appears to you. That's why I don't take this road particularly. Because it's fraught with the kind of things that are just bound to get you into trouble.
I don't know the other
way. Well, the other way is kind of easy. Down the loop.
Oh, I hate that loop.
Yes. That's why you do what we do here. But it's locked. For a guy that tends to get there just barely in time, and then as soon as it's over, I don't even spend a second in this question.
Really?
Take my clothes off and go to sleep. Because I'm trying to get back in a decent hour. So, David, okay, yeah.
You'll have to let me know.
This read really isn't a big feature of this story at all.
You'll have to let me know.
A little about what, Benjamin?
To take where you want me to go for.
You don't want to do a darn thing. You can just ignore it. Like I said, I was trying to do something I thought might be helpful. It was a big failure. We don't have to try to rectify it. Unless you really want to. If you start feeling a little like you're drifting a little bit, we can get you some chocolate, which always works for me. It's at my destination without plowing in the sun. So, yeah. No, I don't even bother thinking much about Tessery because she just kind of wanders off. And if we don't hear from her ever again,
she's
so sad.
Well, it's life. What happens to
him? He goes on with what he was doing. He's still on the mission. He gets all these people who are going to reinvest Wakeheap, and they go off to Wakeheap. Ta-da! He's on target, man. The fact that she's not is just, she's not, you know? Their marriage meant that much to her, I guess. And she just wasn't consistent. And it's kind of a modern thing for saying, I'm tired of just being somebody's wife. I want to be my own person. It's like, oh, first of all, right at this particular juncture is the right place to go if you're a woman and you want to be your own person, because they all are, top to bottom. No, the thing that's really altering is, I think, a really good way, because I think it justifies a lot of Westland's behavior. The second book is really quite dark. Bullshit is murdered. They are stupid.
The third book,
the fourth book, the fifth book. You do it in chronological order. Escape is the first. Prophecy is the second. God's sentence is the third. Things that happened in God's sentence happened 18 years after prophecy. Everything in prophecy happens about 18 years after escape. It's a generational thing. The first one's about Bolasinda. The second one is about the generation after, and I guess Weston is kind of the representative of, this is the new generation. This is when he reaches manhood, as far as an 18-year-old reaches manhood. And the very last one is about Julia, who is, of course, we're not sure if she's the daughter of Wesley or of Landon. We don't know for sure. We do know that she is the daughter of Michiana. Of course, Michiana gets murdered too. Just at the very end.
But in your book, it's sort of another tragedy.
What?
Michiana will be.
What? That's kind of where it's left, and it's okay. The second book leaves it kind of, we aren't sure. Michiana's kind of had a relationship with both of them, and so it is unclear who's who. You know, for being the father. Not that being the father really matters. It was really useful for Lavelle to kind of think that he was. That way he would go through all this crap and try to proper up and stuff like that. He gave a little more justification to what he was doing. Anyway, so. So yeah, you know, Bones gets poisoned by her former best friend, Corin, just for spite, just because she hates her. Which I think is hilarious because it's like, you're still mad that you thought she got what you wanted, but no, she didn't. This is, she was on some beach somewhere, being a fish wife. And so, yeah, Corin ends up being this person that just can't really face reality very well. But she's got her venom and crap like that. It's really kind of stupidly placed ultimately. It's like, what? You're already more influential than Bowles will ever be, especially in the first one. Bowles is this crazed lunatic. Kiabi zealot, for lack of a better term. It's like, so why is Cora doing what she does? It's almost like just trying to get her back for something that she felt that she was slighted for. And you're going, boy, it's a good thing that you really didn't know what the complication of ladies was all about. You wouldn't have lasted long as a lady. You lasted far longer as a major. But yeah, so she's still the embodiment of that culture. Even though this story is of the beginning of its death. You know? You never hear from Corin again. Because that's how much it matters. It doesn't matter anymore. Once the conclave comes in, all that stuff just kind of goes flat. You know? I don't know if she really dies in that particular situation. I don't think she really does. Or it doesn't come up because she just, you know, it's like the whole kiss ring thing. What she does, what she really wants to do. No difference, you know. It makes no difference. It's not relevant to the story. Anyway. Okay. This is Texas. She has better roads than the best. Anyway. So. You know. gifts, and it would, and in the old way I was writing it, I didn't have a reason why Wesleyan wasn't taking the Waykeep Covenant going to Waykeep with this group, you know? There was always this thing that he always wanted to be that, but his dad wouldn't let him, or something like that, and it didn't make a lot of sense. So I'm kind of glad that that's finally moving away. Or there's kind of this whole thing, well, are you going to go with Ennis to Waykeep and do that kind of stuff? Or are you going to stay at First Hope and continue to lead this kind of evil out of control, murderous faction of commoners that is ultimately going to take over, although that's not assured, particularly at any particular point in this story. So yeah, I think it makes Wesleyan more makes it look like he did, because Ennis wants him to come. To be honest, he's got some of the attributes. Kind of being a hothead could be useful in ways, you know, when you're trying to defend that mass. You gotta be controlled, though, so you gotta learn
something.
And apparently, he did during the ensuing next 18 years that's not recorded in books.
Right.
You know, because we catch him on God said he's trying to redeem himself somehow, you know. Anyway. So, yeah, it's really dark, you know. Daymor totally abandons Melisandre in large part because, hey, the actual queen has got her hooks in the head for her own schemes, I guess. So, with all this stuff, I guess he had paid some lip service to the teachings of Tiami, or things like that, but when it was King Dishon, when he was offered something that the culture that he grew up in was like the whole pinnacle of men, yeah. It sucks.
Doesn't he
eventually come to prophecy? Yes, well, no. It's called prophecy because he actually sees a lot of things happen in a series of dreams that he has, just as the decision is made to go to First Hope. He sees all these visions. It doesn't mean he's a righteous guy in particular. He just sees these things. It's probably a pure definition of a prophet. It's somebody who sees things that will happen in the future. You know? I guess a seer is somebody who sees something that's going to happen in the future and tells people about it. A prophet is just somebody who sees things in the future. May not really tell you about it particularly. But he sees a whole lot of things happening. And he says something that he often says to impress the queen. And the queen is impressed. And she goes, yeah, you're going to be my consort. And he's like, well, yeah, I'm always. I mean, this is exactly what every man wants to be. That's right, is to be this. And so devotion to Bal Sinta isn't what everybody had hoped it would be. Marriage didn't mean that much to him. Of course, marriage wasn't a thing at first to him. It was something that that stuff was all about. So yeah, Balls was totally into it. Oh yeah, this is my guy. I picked him. We're going to get married. They had a kid. You know, all that stuff. But it just wasn't much to Damor at the time. Now, later on, in God said, I don't know if he's really all that much better, but it's things that he's seen, and it's things, you know, people still remember him from this kind of middle thing in prophecy. He was the guy that gave the prophecy. So everybody acknowledged him as a prophet. That was why the queen said, well, I'm going to make you my consort, because you're this guy that sees the future. Tells us about some of it. And it isn't that he's doing it for good reasons either. Usually he tells people things that will happen that will raise his status and things like that. It's like God gave him this amazing gift and he totally screwed it over.
It's not like he used it for God's
honor
and glory.
Not really.
You think God's taking away the gift?
Well, he already saw it. It's not like he could take it away from his members, but I guess he could, but he didn't do it. So yeah, the only person that really comes out of this group that goes down to do this missionary work, the only person that comes out of it is Ennis. And he accomplishes what inspiration told him he needed to do, what God told him to do. He was really the only guy that stuck with it. So yeah, Westland ends up just saying, I don't want to do that. I want to stay here and lead this group and see what happens. So I think that works a lot better, because Westland, the hothead, the person that doesn't want to be constrained by rules or conventions, either the Kiyami stuff or the congregation. He really doesn't want to have anything to do with any of those things. You know, they've all got, you know, there's all constraints to them. You have to be obedient to something, or you have to do something to it. So he just chooses his own road, and he's got his group of people that they kind of corrupt him, and you go, yeah, he says he's really not a murderer. They are. They're totally willing to kill people.
Yeah, this isn't a very interesting.
No. This. No, Lisa, no, this book is actually tied to the Mariner's Law. It actually follows kind of a pattern that goes with that. And yeah, all these people are people, and it's like, Mulz doesn't make bad choices. She chooses to sacrifice herself, hoping that it will redeem Corin. It doesn't. But it really impresses Michiana, and she becomes a devotee of stuff up here pretty soon. Up here on the side of the United, if you want to get anything or do anything, it's totally up to you.
Oh, I'm feeling here.
control if you're, if you don't really have anything that needs you to be away.
If worse comes to worse, I'll have leftovers in the
future.
I think I'll...
All right, well then we'll just go past. Okay. Oh, no. It is a very dark story, but...
So is ours.
Oh, it's good!
It's good, the dark world.
Yeah! But see, good things still come out of it. Wake Keep gets reinvested. Ennis obeys God, and there's this good... You know, I don't think it ever comes up. He may have gotten remarried, but, you know, it's kind of like the scriptures, right? If you go to the apostles, have wives, and some say, oh, yeah, you know, somebody had it. Abigail was somebody's wife.
I did.
Yeah, I know, but it is. I go to Jesus, have a wife, and you go, well, I think he kind of has to. On some level, well, if he is going to be like God, he can't be like God without a wife. You know, it's a couple. It's not a singular person. I'm sure I'm shaking a lot of people over. And the girls don't like it particularly. Did I say that? I know that people in general conference talk about the fact that, you know, you're not going to be denied any blessings if you go, blessings you qualify. So, I don't know if you choose not to get buried in lies, if that's going to be rectified out of your parents.
Not you, and not being given the opportunity.
I don't understand the concept of never being given the opportunity. What does that mean?
Who has asked you to marry her? In what proposal?
She should take matters into her own hands. Why is she waiting for some guy? Is that God's way of doing it? I don't know. That's just the way the culture says it.
She is lucky.
Yeah, I know. And you go, I don't know what to say except to say, if this was really important to you, you would figure out a way to do it. You know? Even if you go, I don't even know part of the life is important to you. But... You know, he's a three-term missionary, yada, yada, yada. He's got this guy down. I'm probably going to have to do most of the work because he's kind of a slug. He says, but, you know, when I get out of it, I get a feeling. And that's what I'm gunning for. You go, that's right, man. He says, there is plenty to be said of if you win seal, that's between you and God, too. And God takes that even if you decide that you can't live with this curse, right? And you get a divorce, the ceiling's still there. Unless you insist on canceling it so you can marry somebody else. So it's only under that circumstance you can do it. Anyway, so we have this about you. Anyway, And this whole rumination is what I'm calling the whole thing all together, because if he's like, it's like an allegory, I don't think it's really an allegory. He's like, no, it's just a rumination. But what happens if this certain seasons have this certain yeah, this one's just like, you know, if you're gonna tear down a society, even if it's got some evil aspects to it, it's a messy thing. A lot of people suffer for it on some level, I guess. And that's really what this is. This is getting rid of the convocation, putting something else in place that isn't really particularly better, a little more straightforward, you know. It isn't a whole bunch of secrets and lies, particularly. It's just a bunch of nasty guys that took over. And they don't mind being nasty. They're not trying to hide behind the fact that they're particularly evil. We just don't. But then we find out that Westland really isn't that bad of a governess, you know. Apparently, the things that his mother read to him when he was a child did have some kind of effect on him. It just took a long time until it seemed to matter to him. So yeah, no, there's plenty of redemption that happens. Godsend ends up being a redemption story for a lot of things, you know. Julia was a particularly decent person. She was redeemed. And Westland is in the midst of his redemption. A little dialogue. Somewhat, you know, nothing's clean and beautiful, particularly. Julia is probably the most straightforward story. But anyway, so yeah. A change of prophecy and making little adjustments in escape so that the three stories go together better, as opposed to Godsend being this really weird offlier for a client. You know, this is, I see some characters that have a problem. The place settings are the same, but, yeah, but it's like, what, Namor's got really bad memory? It's like, well, yeah, I guess we can talk that, but, so it's like, well, fix it. But fix it in the other stories, you know? And it's mostly just names that I've used earlier and that I've thrown away. And it's like, well, just don't throw away. It's just a name, a clown. Heck, most of them I can't even pronounce. No, stutter is all over. So, yeah, that's what happens. So prophecy changes a bit, especially at the very beginning, when Westland was on the scene, now he's not going to be on the scene. But I think he will be he will be something that is talked about, because, you know, Davor, being selfish and a very shallow person, is just mad because now he has to do all the dishes by himself. And he can't, you know, he can't get his teenage kid to, you know, because his teenage kid's gone. But he's been gone for a while. And I think they've almost given up on him ever coming back, which is pretty much true. He doesn't come back until the very end of Godsend, when he comes back, he probably took it to thinking. Anyway. And of course, balls pines. You know? She pines for a whole lot of things. Number one, this is not a fulfilling life for her on any level. Certainly doesn't compare to the kind of life she might have had on the first. And of course she pines for the loss of her son, that he's gone. And I guess she pines a little bit for the relationship she had. That's how she and Court get back together later, is that she is wanting to share what she's learned from the Kiyomi stuff, which is basically the Mariner's Log, stuff like that, which is the basic framework of this little story. It's broken up into 10 sections. Every section usually has a chapter, 2 or 3 in it. Yeah. It has some relation to that particular part of the Mariner's Log. As you go through it. So yeah. So I'm making just as mostly some style changes with Westman, making it so that he actually leaves home before the prophecy story even begins. But he's mentioned. And then once they go to first home, well, they run into it, right? It's the whole big thing, you know. He's this popular member of Congress. He's popular for some, you know, pothead, fire breathing, making everybody, you know. Mostly stirring up discord. You know, that's kind of what his bunch is about. I think it ultimately becomes some kind of surprise that they actually get into a circumstance where they take charge, which I don't think anybody thought would ever really happen. They were always just a bunch of, you know, bunch of people not to be. They were uncouth, you know, especially among the convocation. You just didn't do that, you know. You didn't behave that way. So yeah, that's kind of what I'm up to. I'm making a few, actually, I think all of the changes I was going to make in Escape I've already made for like some name changes so that it works better with Godsend. And because I'm still liking your whole, we should make it a trilogy. Like, yeah, okay. I guess I could. Although God
Escape is totally different.
Oh. And you're probably not going to like Prophecy either, because the story will, well, I don't know if it's so much interrupted, but it follows this pattern, you know, of the 10 symbols for, you know, God's plan for happiness, right?
Okay. Are you going to explain the symbols somewhere?
Yes. Each individual section is that. Although, when it gets down to it, I don't know. It's almost like, okay, You know the book that we're reading right now, that Yellow Stars Doodad? Every chapter starts with some horrible anti-Jewish propaganda crap. So, highly placed German official, right? I guess you could see that as the same kind of thing. It usually has no particular bearing on the chapter. She just sticks it in there. You know, this sequel, we have read a different book a while back that did the exact same thing. It might be by the exact same writer. It just may be her thing that she loves dropping those in the very beginning of a chapter. I don't know.
Are you talking about In the Shadow of the Queen?
I have no idea. I don't know what the name of the book is. How much of a thing it had. I apologize. I won't be the guru.
They both changed the fiction.
Yeah. But she's trying to say, oh no, I did a lot of research and these people actually exist and stuff like that. I just, you know, made it more interesting. So I guess you can kind of look at it like that. It's a little bit more obvious. But yeah. So I think after it all said and done, you'd probably say, but Jason, that seems to be just a stupid distraction. I wish you could just take those out. And you go, no, I'm not going to. I get to be the writer. And will I do it with the same style? Maybe. God Sent tries to be far more of a traditional novel, which is why you like it, which is fine. I don't mind having a novel in there, but I'm not going to try to make everything else I do read like a novel. Sorry, this is not interesting. And I know you say, but then it makes lousy trilogy. That's why, like, well, can I tell you? I was never interested in doing a trilogy.
You know,
I was just doing different stories. I don't want people to look at the other two stories as novels. They're going to be something else. And interesting. The first was supposed to be a lighthearted introduction into this whole culture, Billy. And that's it. That was all just really there for. It isn't, you know, it isn't to challenge any thinking. It isn't to do anything at all. It's supposed to be lighthearted. Yeah. And the second book is going to be, oh my gosh. Let me tell you, everybody who likes one of the books is probably going to not like the other two. Therefore, it's like, I guess you could call it a trilogy if you want to. I said, but I don't think that. Sorry. And I know you go, well, that's just stupid. That's stupid, stupid, stupid. And you go, yep, that's what I'm doing. Me. Something that a lot of people will say is, I've got a larger purpose going on here. And to be a successful novelist is one of my purposes.
Well, do you want to make your millions?
No. You tell me, nonfiction does a lot better than fiction. And I'm kind of doing something kind of weird. It's a pity between us, so. We'll just see. We will see. Okay. So, yeah. So, yeah, second book It's dark. And it's like, oh my gosh! All the characters that I like, they all either turn out to be dead or so flawed that
I don't like them.
I'm not really into them anymore. It did you go well? Since you can try the third book, it goes, if you know, 18 years in the future, maybe, since it is, since the third book is all about redemption and deliverance. The first book is about escape. It's about, isn't it nice that God can steer you? The second book is about sometimes God steers you in ways that look at you. You know? Most of it's about people who abandon God. Almost all of them abandon God except for us. And it's hanging in there.
Somebody gets most of this.
Oh, most does too. Most does it, but she's like a sacrifice. But yeah, Jeffrey gets. She gets seduced. Yeah.
The power is being born.
It is. It is closest to a weird, modern, feminist seduction. You know? It's sexual. That's what they were getting sucked into, is the whole, except his is weird. Because, yeah, you know, it's like, he isn't really seduced by a person. He is reacquired by a culture. You know? He had every chance to leave it, but when it came down to it, I think he, well, the basic thing about him is indifference, and the foremost of this is that he really doesn't care, you know? And that's what gets him, is that he doesn't care enough about anything to have any kind of moral compass at all, you know? If there's something that's going to profit him, great, that's pretty much the way he's going to go. And you go, I wish he had stood up for something. And you get the impression in the last book that he kind of does on some level, you know? But not definitively. Not strictly. Although he doesn't talk a better call. I guess he does talk better. But yeah. Westland ends up being a big hero, sort of, but kind of a quiet one that you wouldn't expect after all the things he does. You know, that's what redemption is. Usually,
he falls to the
ground. I agree with you. But yeah, usually when redemption comes from big names, that's usually one of the things that they have to but a sign is the big name, you know. Even though he ends up being Julia's first chief counselor, he doesn't stay there very long. You know, he decides he's ready to go to Wayne and give up on all this other stuff that he's been up to. Anyway, so.
Whatever.
even knows the other old Olsons just become nothing. They just pour them up and just...
Is it here?
Yeah. There's a sign right there.
I know, the sign shot lit up.
Frontier.
And it's really hard for me to see it, so I'm practically right on top of it.
Okay.
It used to be, you know.
Expensive to like that stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, so, yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking about. What do you think? I'm just gonna fix up.
Do you need me to go through it to catch anything you might miss?
Confusing stuff. Maybe after I'm done with my first
thing. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just to say, maybe this instead, yeah. Yeah. But no, I'm sorry. I am hanging with it being really different. You know? And I think I'm gonna at least take elements of that style into prophecy. I don't have to do the little things about rabbits and about ants and about...
That's good. Sorry.
But I will keep pointing out things that people say, oh, you should never do that. You know, what's wrong? Discover this on their own, you know, no, because I'm trying to get them to understand some things. So yeah, the novelty, no. I said, if it's close to anything, it's like a really bizarre self-help movie. Except it's understanding how God works, and prophecy does that too, you know, except that now it's God sometimes lets people die, God sometimes sends you on unhappy adventures. God tells you to do hard things. And you go, well, it's true, he does. And you go, yeah. So I'm not gonna do except what I've always done. It's like, hey, God's about to do this up here. And it's not happy. And it's not beautiful. And it doesn't make your little heart sick. It may end up being kind of a whole thing about this not being any near Jesus. This is Jesus that puts you through the ringer. And sometimes we fall. It's a fall.
There's peanuts in the state.
We have to know that. Readers. As I did on the other ones, too. You know? I'll tell you what I think you need to be paying attention to. There might be other things, too. You know, except there's not even good. Look, look here. Look, see what's happening?
Pay attention. Very important.
The only person that really doesn't get redeemed out of it, you know, Corinne does, but she isn't really a main character. Jess Reed really does, but she is the main character either. Everybody else has a redemption track to them, you know? Bowles doesn't need one. She's doing a good thing. God made her pine for a little bit for what she left behind, kind of, but not really. Because she really stays outside the convocation system. Still, she's like this wild woman that just comes into this. And she starts talking about this Kiabi stuff. And they're like, what the heck is all this? What does that have to do with anything? But she gets some, you know, Ennis and the group that he ultimately brings together, a good number of them are people who were introduced to all this by Melisenda. She was really the good missionary. She went out and did all the heavy lifting, and she kind of gave up her life for it. Although it really is personified, trying to affect Corn in a good way, which never works. Corinne's gone too far. She's just an evil little minx. Horrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is dark, but it isn't like everybody dies or everybody falls apart. Some people do. In ways that make sense, people make crappy choices to follow power, which may not be the right thing to do. Or might ultimately not be, you know, Wesley is ultimately redeemed. Just not in book two. You know, this is where we really find out what he's prepared to do. And they go, oh my gosh, he's kind of a bad guy, you know. Bad little monkey. So we have all these storylines to kind of find. I'm trying to remember. Because I actually one time had a good chunk of prophecy written, but it didn't have a ton of the elements in it. It had the bones of the story. I need to add a lot more to it so they can work better. And I kind of like how it's morphing for Wesley. It seems like Wesley now has a sensible story arc, as opposed to, why does he choose to do that? People wouldn't do that. I just wouldn't explain it. It's like, no. If I can put that, sometimes you can't usually do it. Gaylord's progress really is if anything decent happens to Gaylord's because Bulls made him do it on some level, you know? He was totally willing to betray the whole thing at the investment party just because when a powerful woman tells him to do something, that's what he does. That's why she had to knock him out, because she had to save him from doing something just stupid that was going to get the whole situation ruined. So. I don't know how much he ultimately changes. It's hard to say. I don't think through the whole three stories, I don't think it really is clear, you know. Is he really a redeemed person? Or is he still just taking advantage of circumstances? I have no idea. Namor is an interesting character. And that's what I wanted to have. To be honest, Ennis is probably the most boring character because he's so straightforward, yeah, and he always does what's supposed to be done. He is Mr. Duty, and he does it, you know, and is he, you know, he doesn't walk through the history. She does the walking away.
But if she doesn't stay there with her,
he doesn't try to save her. I don't know if there was larger issues to it. Maybe in the first part of this little mission trip, it'll become kind of obvious that Kesri really is into it anyway. And there's already getting to be some problems. I seem to recall that it might have come 10 minutes. She was already giving overtures that she was really unhappy at the sound of it. Because waste is hard. It's a hard thing. It's a hard commitment. Now, that's kind of what happens, is it? You know, and I do that, and I point it straight to God. See, sometimes God saddles you with hard stuff, and it doesn't let up. You know? Kind of that endurance to the end thing. You know? And you go, you know, this isn't fun anymore. Or whatever. And you go, I don't think God's all about the fun. You think that's what it's supposed to be about? You're probably kind of being disappointed. But yeah. And that's kind of why, you know, because everybody thinks it's supposed to be fun and wonderful. We all have a great time. It's like, you know, that's fun. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have fun. You go, I'm not a fun guy. I just know to stand over the years. I don't know what I'm
bougie.
Wait, yeah, whoever. Is that something that one of those idiots? Don't they say that a lot? Yeah. However you want to pronounce it, I'll tell people.
Go,
talk to you about it. There's this one little stretch of road that I go on in the mornings that always has about 5 or 6 prairie dogs trying to cross the road. I don't know what they're looking for on the other side of the road. They don't have a what size. I don't get it. But it's a 50-day. Yeah. Yeah. It's more the beginning of prophecy. Is when Doji and a group of people decide that they're tired of waiting. Which leaves the whole situation untenable because we're not going to be able to protect the mass like we're supposed to.
Okay.
If we don't have enough people to,
okay.
Which drops the whole thing if we got to do something about it. It comes to Dennis that he's got to replenish numbers from personal, which doesn't make any sense, because they do know, especially for malls, what's happening there and everything about it. You know, anybody that would be interested in waking up, but there ends up being actually, it ends up being a whole bunch of people that came through the past. There was a decently large group of people that got converted to the whole idea of waking, working for God, doing something, taking on this responsibility. Yeah, in a certain way, Bald does accomplish what she hoped to do. It just took a long time, way after she died. You know, Michiana. And then, having Julia. And, but yeah. As you're walking through, it's like, for her to get it done, you go, God does stuff, and you don't really know what he's up to. And then all of a sudden, something happens, and you go, whoa, but you go, wait a minute. This all ties back to that. God works multi-generationally sometimes. And you go, that's what he can do. Like that whole thing about babies changing. And you go, this is one of the big things that God controls is who goes where. Who gets born in this circumstance. Who are they born to? Where are they getting into that? You look at it and you go, oh my gosh, what a mess. God sees the end beginning. You just gotta trust it. If David said it in prophecy, it's gonna happen. And it isn't because. And it isn't because Dave or is this wonderful God. He's not. He saw this stuff. That's all. You know? that up. Sometimes he brings it up in the most unfortunate moments. I don't know. I'm saying, I'm aware of where he came. Oh, I'm happy for a second. Everybody thinks that he can do it on command. And he doesn't persuade the people to think this. He doesn't make up stuff. But it all comes from just this bunch of stuff that he saw in this little period while he was still on the beach. You know? It just happens to come up. You know what? This is going to happen.
When did you realize that Fourth Street is actually...
And Korra's kind of trying to take over. But I think...
Korra has Luke over it. Scary.
Yeah, oh yeah. But... much more devious and nasty. Yeah, I think... Samantha's just trying to... thwart her... on some level, you know. She's the matriarch. And it's like... the only way that... Korra can become the matriarch herself is to get rid of me. And she's not really willing to be gotten rid of. She doesn't have a purpose for being except to say, well, I've got this position I've been paying on to. But she isn't. But she really doesn't see the queen coming. Yeah. Trying to actually do something else. Except it's starting to get obvious that she's not dying on a birthing table somewhere. She's avoiding that situation. Things are changing. All over the place. People just don't know how much they're going to change. Everybody's bucking for power. But it's going to shift in a way that they didn't foresee. They couldn't figure out Westland / Kia. They didn't see that coming. So we've got to work all. I have to work all this stuff in the prophecy book. I don't know how long it's going to be. I've got it all kind of framed out a little bit, but it's hard to see how long it's going to take to, you know. Each individual chapter, they start getting bigger and bigger and bigger because trying to accomplish more in them. Kill off the complication slowly. Love you, Lee. Thanks for letting me babble.
Sure.
You're a kind. You can always throw something if you
can. Ask your question.
It's good. Yes. So yeah, dark, but not for lack of trying to do good, not for the lack of accomplishing what was the actual mission, you know? And that's where God's plan for happiness comes in. Yeah? You start out of the beginning, and you go through this whole thing, you go through life, all this junk, and then you know, some people make it to the celestial kingdom. And that's kind of what one storyline is Ennis and the people that he ultimately brings together, the collection.
Kelly, can we get this?
I guess so, maybe. So you do have that storyline, which is really promising. It's like, oh, look, amazing things still happen, even when there's all kinds of darkness and twisted, horrible things happening. There's still good in there, too. Believe it or not, you know. So... It is an oligarch. But there is a lot of dark here. And then, 18 years pass, Johnson, which doesn't have most of the characters. Sam is not there. Morris is not there. Of course, Tess Green's not there. None there. And you're going, wow, did you go, well, so 18 years, a lot of things. You know, a lot of people just kind of fall out of the story. What are you going to do? It's a lot about Julia, who was barely born at the end of prophecy. When he skips the generation. It becomes all this big stuff, and if it goes well, if it sells decently, I don't know what decently looks like, but we'll see. I kind of put together a framework, which was a, well, see, the whole sad part is, Escape was kind of a prequel to, prophecy more than anything else. But then I've got a prequel that comes before that and goes all the way back to Aladius and Cassandra and their children. You know, it's kind of like the interesting creation story of this whole situation. Sarah Dial, here's her.
Who's Sarah?
Sarah Dial and Kiavi, Trish and
Sabra.
And Sabra, yeah, I am supposed to.
Yeah.
Careful. Wow. And yeah, it's basically the big story of how Sarah Dio stayed righteous, Trinche had got seduced. Because it always happens, right? It's like Satan. It's one of Satan's favorite things is to seduce people to fall or to evil or to whatever. Just whatever it takes to make sure things fall apart, right? It was this Sabra woman. The Mariner told them to stay on first one. And Jane didn't do it. Because he was the king. And he didn't have to listen to God. People did what he said. And why did he make a big move by not listening to God on that? Because he got... He got mixed up with Sabra. She was the founder of the complication thing. And all of the snarky crap that goes with it. So you see how it all starts with the Mariner bringing the ladies and Cassandra to first. And them having children. The children pairing off. Them having children. And a little bit about where they came from, which was an evil place.
Yeah, I know.
The minute you think it's not being watched, They'll put, oh, look at that. Look at that.
Isn't
that cool? I'm over at site 10.
I don't know what that is.
I'll take a right. Take a right. And then, well, there's a little road up here. Yeah, take a left. The sun says, you know, there's stuff this way. Go down. Yeah, here you go.
Questions,
so we're
going
to
be able to
find
Royale. Oh, yeah. It's not too changed. Bob. Oh, well. Last time you said I'd see Bob, I didn't see
Bob. You didn't see Bob?
Oh. Is it on the left or the right?
Left.
Here?
Recording.
You're going to need it for tomorrow.
I should stop.
Okay.